you turn with me, if you will, to Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. As you have the occasion to possibly read through Philippians on a number of times through our study of the Philippian letter, Paul's letter to the Philippian believers, you've seen, I'm sure, that joy is the theme of this letter. Now, there are many other connecting and interconnecting themes connected with joy. Joy of the gospel, seeing the fruit of the gospel. Joy in becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoicing, too, in the partnership that we share, like them, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Seeing men and women and boys and girls coming to a saving knowledge and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, joy is one of the themes, interconnected with many other themes, too. In fact, the term joy and rejoicing are found in each of the four chapters, sometimes multiple times, as we saw most recently. And so rejoicing really is a command. In fact, Paul writes that in the imperative, is guided by the Holy Spirit. Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Paul was never tired of encouraging and even commanding fellow believers to rejoice in the Lord, because it really is. It's our choice to obey. Our rejoicing, our joy in the Lord Jesus Christ is our heart and soul's response to the gospel of Jesus Christ, is it not? You see, he's the reason why we can rejoice. And we find joy in him daily, don't we? So joy is a recurring theme, not just in the book or this letter that Paul writes to the Philippians. We see this throughout the New Testament. Rejoicing, again, is a decision that you and I need to make, that we need to make in response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Reminds me of an experience I had just this past week. You know, pastors are a funny lot. You get to know that, you get to see that, yeah, they really are. I had the occasion to go to a pastor's appreciation time over at Cumberland Valley Christian School. They did a great job, they really did. There were a lot, I was amazed at how many pastors and fellow workers had shown up for that special time. It was a time, not just of appreciation, but when we gathered together in the gymnasium, it was a time of praise and worship, because really, our heart's appreciation should really be directed to him. Amen? He is everything. And so that was profoundly clear. They had the student praise band. They had a number of praise singers. And of course, they had all the choruses up there. But as I say, pastors are a funny lot. There were three that were sitting and standing whenever we were invited to stand to sing the choruses of praise and worship to our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. I found that interesting. The three in front of me, every time they stand, they put their hands in their pockets. I guess they were afraid that they might get away and they might start clapping. I don't know, but every time they stood, it was interesting. Every time they stood, they put their hands in their pockets. All three of them. One would follow the other. And also, I noticed that they weren't singing. Yeah, pastors are a funny lot. We really are. I don't know what was going on. I have no right to judge one's motives or attitudes of a heart. But it's interesting when you make certain observations, isn't it? When brothers and sisters gather together in time of worship and praise. You know, I never see you standing up when we sing choruses here or hymns, standing up with your hands in your pocket and in quiet. This is a singing church. It really is. And every once in a while, I know, we don't want to get carried away, but every once in a while, that's okay too, isn't it?
Amen.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but you know, the Apostle Paul, in writing this letter, he didn't have his hands in his pocket. He got out a piece of parchment and a pen, and he wrote this enduring portion of God's word as it was guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, he didn't have his hands in his pocket. He wanted to praise the Lord, didn't he? One of the ways he did, of course, was writing this letter to encourage believers both then in Philippi as well as believers here on South Mountain, that we should praise the Lord and rejoice in him. And you know something else? The believers in Philippi, they didn't stand there with their hands in their pocket either. They did something. They were very sensitive and they were praying for Paul because they knew he was going through times of tribulation, times of trial, times of testing. No, they didn't sit there with their hands in their pocket. They gave. They gave gifts of support and encouragement to Paul. This portion that we're looking at today, it's directly connected with the previous section we looked at, where learning to be content, if you will, the lessons of contentment. And so the thought and the theme of contentment come back into this section that we are looking at today, verses 14 through 20. Because contentment is a part of this section and this, if you will, this note of thank you that Paul writes to the believers in Philippi. But it's a lot more than just a thank you note. I'm convinced the more I study this particular section, and having studied these past weeks, that this is one of the great passages on giving, on Christian giving. Now let me be more exact. This is one of the great passages on grace giving. It really is. A lot of times we see throughout the Word of God illustrations or examples of grace giving. Giving not because it's under the law, but giving out of grace because of Jesus Christ. But we also see grace giving in the Old Testament, don't we? Case in point, I'd like to invite you to put a marker in Philippians chapter 4 and turn with me to Exodus chapter 35. It's on page 89 if you're using the Pew Bible. Exodus. This is one of the examples of grace giving. Exodus chapter 35 on page 89 in your Pew Bible. They were, of course, the Lord gave Moses a clear, detailed pattern for the tabernacle to be made, didn't he? Even the minute details of the rings that would hold the curtains. I mean, God is concerned about the details of our lives. He really is. And the details of how we worship Him, how we serve Him, how we love Him, how we communicate Him, His gospel to others. That doesn't mean that He doesn't give us latitude. He does. He gives us latitude within our life in Jesus Christ to make wise decisions. So you have both, don't you? But here, if you will, in the preparation for the tabernacle, take a look at verse chapter 35 in Exodus and verses 5. Verse 5. From what you have taken, take an offering for the Lord's, everyone who is willing to bring to the Lord an offering of gold. This wasn't the tithe. This was a grace giving, if you will. This is a free will giving. That's another term that's often we see in the Old Testament. Those who are willing, they didn't assess households and say, oh, well, you know, you're pretty rich. We're going to take that amount of dollars from you or shekels or whatever it is. But it's a free will offering. But notice, if you will, in verse 29, all the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offering for all the work of the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do so. For the work that was commanded. So he said, if you're willing, come bring a free will offering. That's grace giving. Take a look also at chapter 36. We want to see a couple of points there. Chapter 36. And we're looking at verse 4. So all the skilled craftsmen, those who were endued by the Holy Spirit with skill and talents to do to make the implements for the tabernacle, the place of worship. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, now listen to what they said. The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. And then Moses gave an order that he sent this word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. So the people restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough to do the work. Grace giving. Another occasion, if you will turn with me to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. But can you imagine that as you turn to 1 Chronicles, and it's on page 423, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Here it's not the tabernacle, but now they're gathering the materials for the building of the temple. And so we have chapter 29. Let's take a look at verse 9. And the people rejoice at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly. Again, a free will offering, a grace giving, because they were willing to give. But notice they gave wholeheartedly. Something was going on in their heart, not just in their pocketbook, not just in their wallet. Something was deeply going on in their heart. Go on, if you will, and so to the Lord. David, king, also rejoiced greatly. Notice in verse 11, of course, they praise the Lord. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. There's an acknowledgement that even what they are giving to the Lord, it all belongs to him. All what they're holding back for their needs as a family, they're saying, Lord, all belongs to you. We're wholeheartedly, from our heart, we're giving willingly this portion for the building of the temple. But let's go on, if you will. Let's take a look at verse 14. This is what David says. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Our offering today is the same thing. What we give unto the Lord, to the Lord's work, is only what the Lord has entrusted and given to us to give. And we praise his name, and we give it wholeheartedly, we give it willingly. These are some examples, if you will, of, I believe, of grace giving. And so turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And verse 38 on page 1021 in your pew Bible. Luke chapter 6, very famous, well-known passage on giving. All this is to at least establish a biblical background, a biblical foundation for what Paul is talking about when he's commending and thanking the believers there in Philippi. They are in Macedonia, that out of their poverty they gave generously. I believe that was an example and is an example of grace giving today too. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give and it will be given to you, declares the Lord. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. There's a relationship too in how God blesses too. We'll see that a little later in what Paul refers to with regard to the Philippians and their gift to him. But just imagine what the Lord is saying. As we give, we're going to be provided more by the Lord to give more. Okay. Now, we can't misuse this. Some televangelists and some others have misused passages like this, and they say, you really want to be rich? Then give a lot to the Lord. That's not our motivation. That's not the reason for giving. You see, we're to give from our heart. Not from our bookkeeping, from our heart. And these are examples of that. But there is that promise of God's provision, and it might not always be in material response or material blessings. There are other blessings too that the Lord brings into the lives of his people. The blessings of peace, the blessings of reconciliation, the blessings of righteousness. All these other fruits, if you will, that the Lord can bring into our lives. But he does say, you know, if our heart is right to give unto him, he blesses that kind of heart, doesn't he? Let's go on, if you will, to 2 Corinthians, and that's page 1146, 2 Corinthians. I know it's a chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verses 1 and 2. I know we've looked at this before in a larger context, but just by way of reference, because I believe he's talking about the Philippians who live there in the Macedonian province. Now, there were other churches that gave too, but it does seem that, as we get into the letter to the Philippians, that there was a time when only the believers in Philippi gave. Even as hard as it was for them to give, they gave. They gave generously, they gave wholeheartedly. And we see this, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. That was grace giving. That was grace giving. They weren't commanded to give, nor were the Philippians on this occasion that Paul gives thanks to them, that they were not commanded to give to Paul to the work of the gospel. But from their heart, they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then they were able to give their resources to the Lord's work. Turn back with me to Philippians. Now some of you might be thinking here, oh, wait a second, what's the pastor talking about finances and giving and offerings for? Well, because it's part of the letter. It's one of the nice things about going through, if you will, expositionally, through a portion of the Word of God, what comes up is there. And you've got to deal with it. You've got to recognize it. You've got to learn from it. I do too. I'm learning. I want to be able to grow in that grace as well. Don't you? Yeah. Amen. And so we come to this passage in Philippians chapter 4. Follow with me as I read chapter 4, verses 14 through 20. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the days of your acquaintance with the gospel, that was the first time. That was back in Acts chapter 16, when they first were acquainted, they first heard the good news, the gospel, and it worked in their lives. When I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. That was subsequent, if you will, in the missionary journey of Paul, leaving the Macedonian area and then eventually returning back to his sending church. Let's go on. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent aid again and again. Shortly after he left Philippi, he went to Thessalonica. The Philippians wanted to support Paul's work, support the gospel. And again, when I was in need, in verse 17, not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and even more, I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul begins this in the English translation, the NIV, in verse 12, yet. Or some translations have notwithstanding. It's a pivot, if you will, but it's a transition that he's making from what he said there in verse 13. Where Paul says, I can do all things. I can be content in need. I can be content in the Lord Jesus Christ when I abound in much. I have learned to be content. And his contentedness, if you will, was not based upon his circumstances. But then Paul in verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so that Paul was concerned because they had sent him a gift. A number of times they sent gifts to him. So he didn't want to just marginalize that or diminish the value of those gifts to him as they gave grace gifts to Paul. And so he's saying, yet it's good for that you to share with in my troubles. So the transition, if you will, is that yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but I want to acknowledge before the Lord Jesus Christ that one of the ways he has strengthened and supplied my needs is through the saints, through the believers there in Philippi. So I want to take a look, if you will, at God's supply and what Paul has to say about giving, about receiving as well. And so we have, if you will, grace giving here in this passage from verse 14 through 20. The first thing, if you will, that we're seeing from verses 14 right down through 18 is God supplies oftentimes through his saints. Now, he can do it many other ways, like when he lowered that sheet down with food before Peter, and he said, eat. Obviously, that was an illustration for Peter to realize that the Gentiles also are in need of the gospel, and God has just as much love for the Gentiles as he does for the Jews. And so, but I'm saying is that the Lord can supply many ways, and oftentimes he does, but one of the ways that the Lord does choose to supply our needs is through other believers. And we have this in Paul's letter here as he gives thanks, but also gives us lessons about giving and receiving. And so we have, if you will, in verse 14, he says, it was good for you to share in my troubles. A number of things here. You know, first of all, it's good to share in the troubles of others. It's good to share in the troubles of others when they go through hard times. And sometimes there is something within us who's saying, you know, I don't want to get involved. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever said that? Or have you ever told that to somebody else? No, don't get involved. But it's a good thing when you and I are sharing the troubles of others, especially in the household of faith, that we don't keep those who are going through difficulties at arm's length, but rather we embrace them. As they embrace Paul, it's good to share in the troubles of other believers. We need to get involved. Paul says three things here, first of all, in this verse. First of all, it's a good work. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, we're reminded that for by grace we are saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace. It's a gift of God. But then he goes on to say in verse 10, he says, that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This is one of the good works that we are created for. The entering into and sharing in the troubles of others and being used of God as a conduit, if you will, as a channel to meet those needs. It's a good work. Paul says it's a good work in Christ called us, in Christ Jesus, to good works like this. But also he says, it was good for you to share in my troubles. Interesting word there. To share, it's actually a compounded word. The two words come together, if you will, to form the word that Paul uses here. Is first part of the word is together, soon, and the second part of the letter of the word that's brought together is koinonia. So what he's doing, he's amplifying that whole concept of what really fellowship in the body of Christ is all about. It's sharing together in the situations that our brothers and sisters are in. Now we do this sometimes vicariously through our missionaries, don't we? As we share their needs and the needs of those who they are meeting with. But what he's saying is that it's a good thing that you have shared, that you have entered into this partnership in having a common sharing of my experience right now. It's an interesting word, too, that he uses for trouble. It's a word that could be translated, and sometimes is translated more literally, that of tribulation. They somehow heard or sensed or knew that Paul was in a situation that he felt like he was being pressed down. That's the word there, being pressed down. So Paul says, you know, it's a good thing, it's a good work that you are joining with me in partnership and fellowship with me as I go through this time of tribulation. But they weren't just on the sidelines cheering, and they didn't just stick their hands in their pockets. They did something very practical, didn't they? And so we have in the following, moreover, as you Philippians know, that in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. They sought to be used of the Lord to meet his needs, to encourage him. So Paul was certainly giving thanks, but he was also identifying some principles about grace giving here today, too. The second thought, if you will, that Paul expressed here in verse 15 that we just read, giving should never be based upon what others have done or are doing right now. Our giving should always be based on the grace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he's saying, yeah, here's an example. Jesus Christ left his infinite wealth and became poor so that you and I, who were poor because of sin and the ravages of depravity, that we who were poor could be made rich in Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes when God's people are asked to give, it's always in comparison with others. That's not what Paul's doing here. He's saying, before you knew that others never gave, you gave. The The motivation was the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't out of legalism. It wasn't out of emotionalism. It wasn't out of guilt. They gave simply because of the grace that they had received in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they knew the Apostle Paul, as he was ministering to them, is now ministering elsewhere. Yes, though he was incarcerated, he was still ministering the gospel. Though he was in chains and being oppressed, still he was ministering to others. And they wanted to support him. They wanted to encourage him. They wanted to say through those gifts that they sent out to him, Paul, we are in partnership with you. We are with you in this. Because together, we are in Christ Jesus. So, our giving should never be based on what others have given or are giving right now. Number three, if you will, grace giving brings spiritual benefits to the giver. We find this in verse 16 and following. And those benefits that God brings into the life of the giver is both for now in this life as well as in eternity to come. Paul says here in verse 16 and 17, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent to me again and again, and I was when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may accredit to your account. Paul is saying that grace giving also brings benefits, blessings, spiritual blessings to those who give. You know, there's some things that the Lord does remember and that the Lord does record. Turn with me, hold your hand in Philippians chapter 4. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. This is a biblical principle, and I believe it applies to all of our giving as we give because of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. The writer of Hebrews writes this word, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Same principle that Paul is saying here. Your gifts to me are gifts of grace because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But know this also. I don't necessarily want more gifts, he says, but I want this to credit to your account. There are blessings and benefits, spiritual blessings to those who give. We see this also even in the Old Testament. Listen to what David says. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. David is saying, the givers are blessed by the Lord. And again, if you will, listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, and he becomes impoverished. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Paul is saying the same thing as he says, thank you for these gifts. Not that I want another gift, but I want also this to be a benefit to your account, a credit to your account. Because he knew that they would be blessed. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time will we reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Yes, grace giving brings spiritual benefits and blessings to the giver, both in this life and in eternity to come. But there's something else also that is taught here about giving. If you will, look at verse 18. Grace giving makes every gift special before God. Every gift we give because of the grace we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is a special gift before God. Notice the three attributes that Paul speaks about their gift. Now, we don't know how much it was. We don't even know what it was. Maybe it was a food gift or something to help him. Maybe it was some additional clothing. We don't know. But we do know that he says, you've given me a gift. Not only once, but twice. Let's see what he says here in verse 18. Because grace giving makes every gift special before God. Verse 18. I have received full payment, and even more, I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are, first one, a fragrant offering. Now, for Paul, he's writing to Gentiles. I don't think he was necessarily making reference to the sweet savor offerings of the Old Testament. Now, they may have heard about that, and Paul may have spoken about that. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talks about the fragrance of Christ. And I think that's the fragrance that he's talking about. When you and I are giving it out of grace giving, and we're giving to the needs of others, that's a special gift. And the Lord says that has a fragrance of Jesus Christ, because we're giving it in his name. We're giving because of Christ. Not because of what Charlie Sue or whatever has given, but we're giving it because of the grace of God poured out to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you and I give wholeheartedly in that manner, God says something about that gift. It has a fragrant offering of Jesus Christ. It's a fragrance of Christ. Then there's another attribute, if you will. It's acceptable. It's acceptable to God. 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, Peter reminds us that all that we do and all that we give and all that we do in the way of praise and worship is only made acceptable because of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. All that we do and are, we are made acceptable only through Jesus Christ. Not on our own. Not even because we're baptized. Not even because we belong to a church. Not even because we serve. The only reason our offerings are made acceptable are because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Two attributes so far. What's the last attribute there? Pleasing to God. Behold, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. The Lord, the Father, said of the Son. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, the grace of God is now working. You've received that mystery, the gospel of your salvation, because of the good pleasure of God. That good pleasure of God is in his Son, Jesus Christ. So that every one of us who stand and live in Jesus Christ, God our Father is looking at us through the righteousness, through the robes of his Son, and he says, this is my beloved Son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. That's your beloved. That's your beloved. And so when you and I give gifts of grace, not because of what someone else has done or is doing, but because the Holy Spirit has so moved our hearts to give generously and graciously because of the grace we have received in the Lord Jesus Christ, God says through this passage of his word that our gifts have those three attributes. They are a fragrance of Jesus Christ. They are well-pleasing to him. They bear Jesus Christ. Grace-giving. I believe grace-giving is all our giving as believers. We don't give because we're under the law. We are under grace. And God says, those gifts are acceptable because of my Son. Acceptable giving, acceptable gifts unto the Lord. Wouldn't you know it? All right. I got a good forgetter, and it's getting better all the time. Paul Harvey was telling a story one Thanksgiving time. You know Paul Harvey, don't you? And the rest of the story, remember it? There was a hotline to Butterball Turkey's office, and if you had any question about a turkey, a Butterball turkey, it had to be a Butterball. If you had any question about cooking it or anything else, you could call this hotline. Well, this one woman, she called and she says, you know, I want to know if my turkey's still good because we've had it 23 years in our freezer, but it's a Butterball. And so the operator at the other end on the hotline for Butterball, she assured her, well, as long for those 23 years, your Butterball turkey was in the freezer and the temperature was 0 degrees or below, it should be okay to eat. But I must tell you, even though it's okay for you to eat, because it's been in your freezer for 23 years, it probably doesn't taste very good. So the woman on the other end of the phone, she says, oh, that's what I thought. We'll just give it to the church. I don't think the Philippians thought that. Do you? And the gifts that they gave, whatever they were, I don't think they were butterball turkeys. But they were gifts that Paul said, they are a sweet fragrance of Jesus Christ. They are acceptable to God. And they are pleasing to Him. Because you gave it out of the grace that you have received from Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Not because someone said, you got to give this much. But they gave freely out of the cross. And like the illustrations in the Old Testament, as well as the illustrations in the New Testament, grace giving gives generously. It really does. Even to the point where the skilled workmen there in the building of the temple and covering, having all those things brought in, whoa, wait a second, we have more than enough. Same thing happened at the temple. Overflowing. Well, you know, God has promised to supply all our needs, verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That's another aspect of our of grace giving, is just to be able to trust in God's promise and his provisions. He will, he has, and he does right now. Amen? God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same God that Paul says, but my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. All of our needs. There was a young pastor who went to a church, called there. It was a practice of the church year after year to meet their budget and the various financial needs of the church. They would run raffles, bingos, dinners, and all things to raise funds. The young pastor said to the elders, I don't believe that's the way God wants us to work. I don't believe that that's the way God provides for his church. I believe Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that our God will provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now this is what I want you to do. At the end of every month, I want you to first of all pay all the bills, heating, lighting, whatever it may be, pay all the bills. And if you don't have enough to pay me, just pay me whatever is left. Of course, the elder said, oh, well, you know, I don't think he really understands. This church is going to die if we don't run these raffles and bingos and everything else. And he'll starve. First month went by. They had enough to meet all their debts. Second month went by. They had a little more than enough to meet all their debts. At the end of the year, that church not only met all of their budgetary requirements, all their needs, but for the first time, in all the previous years, for the first time, they had a surplus. Amen? That's what grace giving is all about. And I'm so glad, and I rejoice, that here in our church family, right from the very beginning, the church leaders and the church family said, you know, we don't need to run these things to raise money, to meet our budget, to meet our missionary needs out there. Because our God will meet all of our needs according to his riches and Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Grace giving. Why am I preaching on it today? Oh, Pastor, do we have a financial crisis? No. Praise God. But we happen to be going through Philippians, and it just happens to be right here. Isn't that great? God's timing is always right. And it's something that I want to grow in. But God supplies also, not just financially, not just materially, but his supplies also spiritually. spiritually, relationally, ministerially, missions. All of that he supplies through his saints, but also God supplies through his Holy Spirit. Join with me in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you. Like David, oh, Father, we can say too, all that we have is yours. That which we give to you even today, Lord, you have enabled us to give. And to give with open hearts, joyful hearts, to be cheerful givers, that we might give because of the grace in Christ Jesus you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.